Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
We return to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Brought to you by Digitex. Office equipment solutions North America-wide?
Yeah, Digitex does that.
Digitex.ca on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
Welcome back, everybody. Bob Stauffer and Brendan Escott with you. I want to mention that some guests and Oilers Now receive gift certificates to Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Ruth's Chris is currently open for takeout and delivery Wednesday through Sunday. The delivery is done through DoorDash. Maggie Taylor and Chef Altoff will take care of you at Ruth's Chris Wednesday through Sunday from 5 p.m. until 10 p.m. Without further ado, we're going to go to our NHL insider, John Shannon, for Legacy Heating and Cooling. With no overtime rates on their 24/7 service repairs, that's how you build a legacy, Legacy Heating and Cooling. The Edmonton Oilers and the Montreal Canadiens, and we are in a pandemic world, which means there's no fans. And as a result, John, we're robbed one of the great experiences in hockey anywhere, which is the arrival of the Montreal Canadiens. Do they still have the same legacy, even though they haven't been a team? There's been no Canadian team to win the Stanley Cup since they last did in 1993.
Yeah, and just 3 years, 3 years after the Oilers won their last Stanley Cup. That's interesting, Bob. I think that the legacy of the Canadiens to their fans will remain, and I think for one real reason, and that is the red sweaters are, to me, as good a sweater in any sport for a player to wear. You know, when I think of Montreal's reds, I think of Yankee pinstripes. I think of Celtics green, Lakers, Jack Kent-Cook called it royal blue, but it was purple. I think of the tradition of the franchise and over 100 years, and I don't think when they skate out on the ice in those reds, there is something so special. The red just jumps at you, and I think that's a big part of their aura and their legacy.
You know, the funny thing is, and we, you know, you're allowed to have more than one or two feelings in life or one or two interests. And, you know, I mean, I took political science in university and was a horrendous student, not very disciplined. But the fact of the matter is I've always had an interest in politics, and I haven't always liked what I've seen out of the province of Quebec at times. But I love going there. I love the experience in the building. We do our Oilers Now road trips with Dennis and Jason Laliberte and the folks at New West Travel, and Montreal is a must stop. It's an easy sell. We do it every 3 or 4 years. Fans love it. You go into that building. I love having French Canadian reporters on our show talking about the game because the passion and the love they have for it. Like, we have a unique situation here in Northern Alberta. We really do. It's, you know this, it's night and day difference in terms of the numbers and the tuning and the listenership between, say, Edmonton and Calgary, and the brand that the Oilers have. And we have unbelievable fans that kept the building full during very difficult times. But you know what? Montreal is, it's a religion there too, isn't it? Is that maybe part of what makes that legacy so special?
Part of it. I think Edmonton fans and Montreal fans have a lot more in common than people realize. And I think it's the knowledge of the game that they have and the expectation that they have and the demand they have for quality hockey. Montreal went through some hard times as well in the late 90s and the early 2000s, just like the Oilers did. The fans came back in droves when the team performed. There is a special bond, and it goes deep between these two franchises in so many ways. And I think there's a mutual respect in so many ways, but there's also a grand rivalry which you have to love. Just off the top of my head, a lot of it is started with a relationship that people will laugh at, and there's lots of people that won't understand it. But the relationship between Glenn Sather and Red Fisher, two of the great icons in our game. Obviously, Glenn, everybody at Edmonton understands what his role in the Oilers was. And Red Fisher was the godfather of hockey writers in North America.
Yep.
And they had an amazing relationship. And Glenn played in Montreal a very brief time, but there was an instant bond there until Red passed away. And Glenn will always tell you with a smile on the face how much fun and he enjoyed and learned from Red Fisher. And that's where the bond and the relationship between these two franchises is so deep. There are so many stories like that. Danny Gallivan and Wayne Gretzky. There are so many. I mean, Dick Irvin and what he did over the years with the Oilers winning Stanley Cups. It's a really unique relationship between these two franchises that you're right. It's disappointing that there aren't people in the building to enjoy it. But it's one of those ones that that you're solid in the knowledge that it will continue well after the pandemic ends.
Dick Irvin, I remember after the Rangers won the 94 Cup, he was interviewing in the room Glenn Anderson. And he goes, well, you know, this is your fifth Stanley Cup. And Glenn goes, and just kind of matter-of-factly, actually, Dick, it's my sixth. And Dick looked at Glenn Anderson and said, yeah, well, this is my 43rd. And so just right.
Actually, that was an interesting relationship, those two guys. Interesting relationship.
Because explain why.
Well, as I recall, one of the Oilers Stanley Cup championships, Glenn doused Dick with beer in the dressing room after the game, and Dick never forgave him. Now, Dick will tell you that that's not true, but I know for a fact it is. And it bothered Dick for a long period of time. And, the politics of hockey are interesting. And so, there was no coincidence, I think, that when Glenn Anderson got in the Hall of Fame, then one of Dick's favorite guys, Dick Duff, who was a comparable style player with comparable style numbers and championships, got into the Hall of Fame the next year. So it's interesting how that our little hockey world works, Bob.
Well, the other part I was going to mention about Red Fisher, because there's people out there that are like, oh, hold your horses on Ryan McLeod. And my feeling is that the game has slightly changed, and now players they're better equipped than ever before. Well, you know what, Red, maybe you can explain to our listeners.
Red Fisher would not talk to a player in his rookie year in the National Hockey League. He would not talk to him, not interview him, didn't care what he thought. He had to pay his dues, and you're right. The world has changed a great deal. All those years that I was, while you were in high school, Bob, I was producing Oilers hockey. We would invariably have at least one or two midweek regional games on ITV, which is now Global, in Montreal. And it was the easiest, and we used to have to program the whole show. It wasn't just you did the game, and then the guys in Toronto did the studio. We produced everything on site in the arena at the Forum. And our easiest nights were the nights where Tim Spellacy, is still a grand old friend of mine, would sit, and we'd put Dick Irvin and Red Fisher together, and it was like two old ladies sitting at the bus stop, just talking about life, and it was glorious, glorious television, simple, effective, and fun. And between the two of them, almost 100 years of hockey in their lineage. And they told great stories, and we walked out of the building with a smile on our face because Dick Irvin and Red Fisher made us feel how much more to love the game.
Now, you do realize when you refer to my high school years, that's about a six-year window.
Well, as you often said, grade nine, the worst 3 years of your life.
Exactly. Yeah. Somehow still made it to university. Still trying to figure out how that happened.
Well, that's because the bus went. That's right.
Well, and speaking of transportation, what was Eddie Shore's line? The only reason why I got past grade four is I loaned the teacher my car. That's still a best line. All right, John Shannon joining us. John, just to McLeod for a second here.
Yep.
you know, 14 goals, 28 points, last 23 games, leading the American Hockey League in plus-minus. I don't want to take away from the here and now. The Oilers have got a team. Anything can happen this year. They got two of the best players in the world. But I got to tell you, I'm pretty excited, and we've already got people texting because I said Bouchard's playing full-time next season. There's no question that's happening. And people are going, well, what's going to happen? They got to re-sign Barry, or they got to re-sign Larson, or they're not going to trade. And I'm just saying, they got, you know, Bouchard's going to be on the team full-time start of next year, playing. McLeod's going to be playing full-time next year. I think Benson starts the season next year at the team. And then we have Holloway and Broberg coming. And I think fans should be excited because this is a different count. Like, the Oilers are in a different spot as this goes on because they've got some legitimate higher-end players that they're going to be adding to their group. Your thoughts on that?
With cost certainty. I mean, all the things you're talking about are the tangible measures, but remember, all these guys are on, well, maybe Benson won't be by then, but entry-level deals still. And so it gives Kenny some cost certainty for at least a little while, which would be good. You know, it's funny, I know Ryan and his older brother Mikey pretty well. They grew up not far from where I live. Here in Toronto, so they're neighborhood kids for me, which is kind of exciting to know. And having watched Ryan play his junior hockey in Mississauga, so it's one of those things where the extra year or two in the American League has paid off for him. You know, to learn how to play the pro game, to learn how to play the same system that the Oilers play with Jay Woodcroft doing what he has to do for the club. I mean, that valuable lessons for a young guy like Blakey Hood. Things came easy for him in junior hockey, as it does for most stars in junior hockey. For him to go and go to Bakersfield and make a difference, and I love the fact that they're bringing him up now. Because, and we've touched on this a billion times, Bob. When the Oilers get to the playoffs, depth and having people on the taxi squad or you know on the Black Aces that can come in and contribute, that's going to be one of the measures of how far you go in the playoffs. You're going to need 8 or 9 or maybe even 10 defensemen. You're going to need more than 12 forwards. You know, this is one of those things that introducing him back into the NHL game and giving him a chance to play before the season ends, you know, in middle of May, is a really smart idea by this organization. And you do have to wonder if there's going to be a couple more come up before the end of the season for this very reason.
Well, we don't know if the AHL is going to play playoffs. I'm led to believe the players aren't that enthralled about. Remember, once the season's over, regular season's over, salaries, that's it. And a lot of the guys don't want to pay rent beyond the month of May. And so, and it's only going to be divisional playoffs. Have you heard anything on that front at all? Are we looking at they just play their 40-game regular season? Because I do know, John, once the NHL playoffs start, you can recall anybody beyond that point and add them in this 1 year.
Yes, you can. I have not heard, but I mean, obviously, the cost of playing hockey is difficult at times when you're on a salary that is what sometimes one tenth of what you will make in the National Hockey League.
Yes,
and that's a factor that I think that all of the developmental leagues in every sport have had to face. But it's an interesting one, and we don't know. We don't know if there will be Calder Cup playoffs at all this year. I think if Scott Housen had his way, the answer would be yes, but it's going to be difficult to find the money in order to do it. I can guarantee you there will be a point where some of the owners may not be very excited about running their team. Mind you, in the United States, you're starting to put people in buildings. Things are different there than they are in our country right now, Bob, and you never know how that's going to impact things. But certainly the cost of living without a paycheck is something that has to be a concern.
Yeah, right now in the United States, up to, I think, 60% of Americans with one shot, and Canada currently at 26% of Canadians with one shot. So that and that's going to bring us to something that I know that Elliot Friedman and Chris Johnson talked about. Is it possible that the Canadian playoff series could be played in the United States in a bubble? Or would you find that surprising?
That would shock me. Again, here's I think that we've had, again, we've had this discussion. I mean, the NHL is thinking of everything. They're thinking of every option. You know, the biggest concern in our country is the variant and how the variant is controlling things and controlling and dictating. I mean, we're in a much more difficult lockdown here in Ontario than you are in Alberta. There are huge concerns here about daily cases of the virus. They're concerned that we could have 20,000 a day within 2 weeks if we don't monitor this better. And certainly the NHL is taking a hard look at that as well and trying to figure out what is best. There hasn't been any pushback that the NHL is not playing in Ontario, both in Ottawa or in Toronto. So that's not a factor. But I would hope that they can at least try to finish the two rounds of playoffs in Canada. But you know what? I think they've contemplated every option. You know, and that's the one thing that the pandemic has forced people to do is you got to have plan one through plan six and invoke the one that works most accordingly at the appropriate time.
All right. We're getting texts that are coming in on our Ashley Fine Floors text line. Bob, where are you getting those numbers from? Our worldindata.org COVID-19 vaccine doses administered per 100 people. As of yesterday, Canada 26.44, so that's 26%. In the United States, it's 62.61. So that's an update as of yesterday at our worldindata.org. Speaking of COVID situations, the Vancouver Canucks and Toronto could have easily won that game. Braden Holtby probably, you know, made about 5-10 bell saves in that game, but it was a pretty interesting storyline how the Canucks ultimately got the victory in overtime.
You know, it's funny, I was thinking today, the Canucks aren't going to make the playoffs. They're too far behind. They're too far behind Montreal. I think it's 10 points, and they don't have enough. They don't even have games in hand that if they won every one that they could catch Montreal. So the odds of them being in the playoffs is rather low. But at the same time, you know, they might have won their fans back with the way they played last night and how they played and what they've gone through. It wasn't a very feel-good story for 23 days, and it became a feel-good story last night for, I think, more than Canuck fans. I think it became the feel-good story in the game of hockey last night in both countries, and I think it got the amount of attention it deserved. Did the Maple Leafs play well enough to win? Yeah, they probably did. It didn't help that Zach Hyman got knocked out of the game, although I'm told that he actually asked to go back in the game.
Wow.
And the doctor said, no, we're going to rest you. The training staff said, no, you're going to take the night off. I would not be surprised to see Hyman back in the lineup tomorrow night against Vancouver. So from that perspective, it wasn't all lost for Maple Leaf fans last night. So from a pure game perspective, though, that's movie script stuff, don't you think, Bob? That was a movie script last night. Holtby playing as well as he did because he has not played well. The team coming from behind to win in overtime. It did put a smile on a lot of people's face last night if you were anybody but a Maple Leaf fan.
Quick hitter for you. I know you follow President Biden. You're one of his 10 million followers. He just tweeted out 12 minutes ago, everyone 16 and older in America is eligible for the shot today. Go and get them, folks. Wow. 16 and older in the U.S. All right, final time, total curveball with you. And I don't know how much, I don't know how big of a European soccer fan you are, but you're a huge sports guy. This is a mammoth story in the United, or in, over in Europe right now, involving the Super League, which is trying to, I guess, basically, what's trying to freeze out UEFA, eliminate teams playing their right to play in the Champions League. This and I wonder what, like, John, I'm just kind of looking at this going, could this be a precursor of things to come in major international sports outside of soccer? Now, soccer is watched by 4 billion people on the planet. But this story, I mean, it is three of the four teams, John, that are in the Final Four for the Champions League are three of the club sides that are committed to three of the 12 club sides for this new Super League. All hell's going to break loose over there, isn't it?
Well, I mean, and there are still three more teams are going to add to the 12. In the end, it's going to be a 15-team league. And I think what they did was they threw it up there now in order to try to see what other three teams will come forward. That to me will be the interesting part of it. The politics of world football with FIFA and UEFA are so vastly different than the constitutions that are written by the four major sports leagues in our on our continent that I don't think we can fathom how big this is. I really, and I know there are soccer fans in Edmonton that understand this greatly, and I'm not trying to demean that. But these 12 teams and soon to be 15 going rogue like this, they are reinventing the map, and what they're trying to do in many ways is cut the grass of every other team in any country when it comes to media rights, when it comes to the global reach. It is going to be fascinating, absolutely fascinating, what comes out of this. And you know, even at some point, are we going to end up in a court case? Is there going to be another court case? Are we going to have some ruling body decide that, no, these 12 teams can't have a league, and see what happens?
And we'll just mention Real Madrid, Forbes, their 2020 rankings had them at $4.2 billion. FC Barcelona, that's my favorite team over there, at $4 billion. And Man United at $3.8. Those are three of the 10 wealthiest teams on the planet. And kind of says a lot. Dallas Cowboys, by the way, $5.5 billion. That's the value of the Cowboys. And the Yankees at $5 million.
Yeah, the league constitutions of the four sports are so much more dominant.
Yes.
And the power of the commissioners and the owners groups, this wouldn't be allowed. But could you imagine the Edmonton Oilers, Toronto Maple Leafs, Montreal Canadiens, and Jokerit in Helsinki, and now Moscow, the Red Army in Moscow, St. Petersburg, SKA. I mean, could you imagine a worldwide hockey league starting on its own and independent of the National Hockey League or the KHL?
All I can tell you is some of the broadcasters would end up permanently mummified with vodka if that was the case, John.
I'm not going to go there, Bob. It's only Monday.
It started with the media with Red Fisher and Dick Irvin, and it ended with the media. There you go. Look forward to having you on Wednesday, John. Thanks for your time.
Okay, Bob. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 12:56 in Edmonton. When we come back in Oilers Now, we'll get to NHL Today for Elite Promotional Marketing.
Hi, this is Ryan Nugent-Hopkins from your Edmonton Oilers, and you're listening to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer on 630 CHED.
Ryan Nugent-Hopkins will skate tomorrow. They'll see how he does. Could be an option for Wednesday, but remember, the Oilers have 4 days off before they play Winnipeg on Monday. Coming off taking that headshot from Thomas Chabot. All right, as promised, we're going to get to NHL Today. It is brought to you daily on Oilers Now by our friends at Elite Promotional Marketing, company-branded apparel products and awards, all created in-house. Shop local at ElitePromoMarketing.com. Edmonton owned and operated. Here's Brendan Escott.
Seven other games around the league tonight with your other Canadian content down the QE2. The Flames hosting the Ottawa Senators. Alex Edler, a hearing with the Department of Player Safety this afternoon for his knee-on-knee hit on Zach Hyman last night. He was given 5 in a game on the play while Hyman left, did not return. Patrick Marleau will pass Gordie Howe for the most all-time NHL games played tonight with his 1,768. New Jersey signing 2020 first-rounder Alexander Holtz to his 3-year entry-level deal. Bakersfield took 2 wins over the weekend. Seth Griffith had the lone goal of a 1-0 win against Henderson. And then Ryan McLeod basically played himself out of the AHL. 2 goals and a helper in Saturday's 5-1 win over San Diego. They've got 2 more against Henderson this week, tomorrow and Thursday. Your Oil Kings moved to 14-1-0-1 and took 2 of 3 from the Lethbridge Hurricanes this weekend, losing only in a shootout on Saturday night. Now, those two teams scheduled for three more games this upcoming weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Monday. And we'll note as well, Dylan Gunther, Bob, tied for second overall in Bob McKenzie's midseason draft ranking behind Michigan's Owen Power.
And Sebastian Cosa, 14th. There has not been a goaltender out of Canadian Major Junior Hockey since Malcolm Subban went late in the first round of 2012. Cosa's going middle of the first round, which might take him out of the Oilers' range. All right, here's what we'll do. We'll do the Oilers now. Injury report for James H. Brown at about 1:25. We'll head off to a Global News weather traffic update with Eileen Bell. Come back with Mark and Tuong Godin from The Athletic when we return on Oilers Now.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.